Hello, welcome to Reach, a podcast produced by WEC Australia that invites people who are actively sharing their faith in Christ to share their own story. Some share their faith within their own culture, in their own home country. Some are living in other countries where they do this cross cultures. I'm your host, Richard Jenner, and with me today we have Jim and Cindy Lilly from Minneapolis in the United States. Hi, Jim and Cindy.
Hello, Richard.
Hi.
Hello. So wonderful to see you guys all the way across the, it's the Atlantic Ocean, isn't it?
Pacific. This is where you want to go.
Oh, dear me. I think I might edit that out. I'm usually good at geography, sorry. Well, that's a great start. It is so wonderful to have you on our podcast. Now, there was two reasons. One, because I know you personally, because we're a little bit related, and I just love you guys. You know, you're so faithful in serving the Lord. And Cindy, I think you're going to tell us in a moment a little bit about your background. But you've been doing it for a long time. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah.
All of our married life.
Anyway, some way or another, it's always been 100%.
And also the second reason was you've got a fantastic ministry. And we're going to have a second podcast to hear more about that in disciple making and so on. But first, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you live, you know, your family and so on?
Yes, well, Minneapolis is in the state of Minnesota. We border Canada to the north, and the Great Lakes give you a geographic connection there. We are the parents of 5 children, and we have 18 grandchildren. And our youngest, we care for our youngest daughter who's special needs, and we are supporting work in South Asia and the Caribbean at this time. We're primarily trainers and connectors. We have, and also practitioners in disciple making. We live what we teach. We've trained in 11 countries in North and South America, Africa, and South Asia.
I was thinking of Acts 1:8, and Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses." And he said, first to Jerusalem and then Judea. If you think about that as culturally similar, the same culture area. So that'd be, you know, our city, our country, Christians, the church. I think about that. Then he says, yeah. Samaria, that would be the similar type cultures and similar language, but a little bit different. We have in our city, we have about 3.5 million people, and a little over 1 million of those happen to be foreign born. And they represent 200 and something different countries and languages. And so, but they, the second generation all speak English. So we have similar languages, but certainly different religious understanding. And then to the ends of the earth. And so we do all three of those things.
That's cool, Jim. You mentioned you are practitioners as well. What does that look like? You know, do you have like discipleship groups in your hometown, or,
yes,
or do you do it in other places? What does it look like?
You want to hit that just a little bit?
Yes, we've had our training actually came out of bringing people into our home and doing a 8-week studies, and through that our training became a not a lecture but a discovery process, giving each group a scripture and then having them discover the truths of it, coming back together again. You know, I think we had about 20 people at our house for that time, so that was years ago, but that is actually how our training started. And we've continued to do studies in our home, and I'll go into that more later.
Yeah, prior to that, I've been teaching and telling people how important it was to discover in the scriptures and how you could discover the purposes of God. And one day it kind of came through, well, if that's so, why am I teaching this? Why don't we just go into the scriptures and discover it? And so the first time we did it was just kind of see what's going to happen. And I was people were so excited with what they were discovering. They would come out with this enthusiasm. You know, if you have a lecture, people kind of nod off and maybe get one or two out of it. But the excitement that just and we saw this was really the way we wanted to go. So we have moved our training into discovery, very little lecture, but just mostly discovery.
So it's a real liberation of people into the scriptures and into the spirit.
Right. Right.
It's the priesthood of all believers in action. You could put it
Yes.
that way.
Right.
That's really marvelous, and that's really why I like you guys. There's so many people who train but don't do, and you guys are doing, which is, it really gives you great credibility. So thank you, and keep on doing. Now, you've got a great story too. Now, I believe you've been married, is it 50 years or
50 years.
50 years? That's incredible.
I'm still a project that she's working on.
Okay. And Jim, you came from an atheist family, or is that right?
Right.
Or
Well, so yeah, I'll give them my story just briefly. So I grew up in a, I said when I was 24, I sat down and counted the number of times I'd moved to a different town. It was 26. And my father was in the construction business, and so we didn't have any really permanent roots. And I remember being really disillusioned with the idea of God. And I did have an encounter when I was about 11 or 12, which just I think, as looking back on it, it's really been kind of the foundation. But there was an intervening 15 years when I really I was I could say astray, but I was really led astray. The school system really promoted atheism. And I really grabbed hold of that. And by the time I was 16, I was a professed atheist. And that stayed that way until I was 26 when I had an encounter with God
But
that
you
just
still were
radically.
aware, Jim, that there was an option of God, I suppose.
My father said, I told him at 16 I'm an atheist. And he said, no man can live as an atheist. And so I thought, well, I'll keep an option open. So I did keep that
There you
possibly there's
go.
a God. Yes.
So what changed your mind, or what's the next step?
Yeah, well, the thing that really happened was, I kind of was living with the philosophy I can do anything I want to as long as I don't hurt anyone else. But you can't go very long before you find out that doing anything you want sooner or later hurts somebody else. And then also at the time, my mother, who was an alcoholic, which is kind of my background, was dying with cirrhosis of the liver, and my grandmother was thought she was either dead or dying. And I remember a friend of mine had a radical conversion. I used to just go hang out, have somebody to talk to because I was in kind of a lonely situation. And I remember sitting in the back of that room and I thought, God, if you'll heal my mother, I'll give you thanks every day of my life. And then I experienced what I realized was really manifest grace. The power of God just came over me, and it was just that glorious experience. But I found that I couldn't move my arms, I couldn't turn my head, I couldn't blink my eyes, and I couldn't breathe. And I was sitting in this euphoric state. My mind goes and says, God, I don't want this to stop, but if it doesn't, I'm going to die. And it lifted off of me. But I remember walking out of that meeting, and I remember the sky, the blues, and every grass. Atheists, nothing has any purpose or meaning. And I walked out of that meeting, and everything had meaning. And then I also received a letter dated the next day that my grandmother writes, it's a miracle, but your mother is not only, she's not dead, but the cirrhosis, all the colors changed. She's totally lucid. I don't know what happened, but it's a miracle. So
There
she
you go.
lived 10 more years. So I had that. That's for me, my first thought after that happened was whether you heal my mother or not, I'm going to serve you the rest of my life. So that was 51 years ago, 52 years ago.
51 years ago. You've got a good memory.
Too, yes.
That's amazing. That really is amazing. That word purpose, I've heard that a few times with people lately who've found the Lord, and suddenly the world just changes.
Right.
And the getting out of bed is like great.
Yes. Right.
There's a reason for getting out of bed. There's a wonderful world out there that someone made and we're part of. And Cindy, what was your start in life?
So I grew up in a Christian home, and I would say I was on a journey. I had several experiences growing up, Bible camp, vacation Bible school in the summer. And however, when I went to college, everything kind of got thrown up in the air. Like I was kind of I was continuing to search, but disturbed by the state of the world and the state of just my peers. And I would say that the passage that just kind of is my journey is the is Matthew 13:46, the pearl of great price. So the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls, and when he found the great pearl of great price, he sold everything and bought it. And that's kind of the way my when I was in college, and it was a point where things all changed. Like I was sold out for Jesus, and the Holy Spirit was guiding me. And at that point is when Jim and I met. Actually, I met Jim when he was still an atheist, which is another story. but he was a Christian when we got married. And then we were a part of a charismatic community in Grand Forks, North Dakota. And the vision for that community at that time in the 70s, 71, 2, 3, was to renew the churches. So our community was, we had households, married people. We were married about a year and a half, and we had single people live with us. And over the next many years, we had up to 20 people in and out of the house, total 8 at one time. And then one single friend lady, dear friend, lived with us 41 years. So very much a part of our family. And our life was praying daily together, sharing meals, men's and women's groups, weekly gatherings, plus attending our own local churches. And within that time period, also, we were involved with teaching and training and biblical relationships, married couples, family, children, singles. So our whole married life was teaching and encouraging Christian living and biblical standards. But it wasn't until and when Jim retired, our focus has become equipping the saints. We prayed. God gave us that name, and it's really been true for the last 12
So
years.
you are in many ways you've been doing discipleship for a long time.
Yeah.
So
Yes.
your new stage is probably more helping others disciple, becoming
Yes.
disciples. That
Yes.
charismatic community, did that come out of a movement as
Yeah.
a
Yes.
it did what years were they in the 70s and 80s or
Yes, started in 69 was the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and community started developing about that time. And the first one was Ann Arbor, Michigan, and then ours was started in Grand Forks in 72, and the one down here in Minneapolis started in 71. So it was all, I think it was just the Holy Spirit was really moving.
Yeah.
So I just say,
Not many people, I mean, people, I suppose people my age may know of the charismatic movements in the 70s and 80s, but definitely the younger group don't realize that the wind of the spirit can blow, you know, and
that is a big.
And hopefully we'll blow again in different ways. I suppose we always look for it to come in the same way, which it never does. And that's
No.
the problem with us, isn't
Yes. No, if you
it?
look at the movements, you find out that they're all different from John Wesley all the way up to the current day, what's happening around the world. It's the same spirit, but he works differently in different times. I
Yeah,
think the
well,
mission of
that's.
God is being accomplished. So,
As you look around the world, I know you both see a lot of ministries around the world. Where do you think that the spirit is blowing now?
well, I would say through biblical discovery of and led by the Holy Spirit. Seeing Muslims, animists, Buddhists, Hindus, atheists, New Age people, if they're willing to discover the God of the Bible, the Holy Spirit shows up. And so I really think that this is a move that is, you know, happening all over the world. It happens really well in relationally rich cultures. The U.S. basically doesn't have, you know, we're relationally poor compared to the Africans and the Indians and the, you know, Eastern Asians, and, you know, they're very tight networks.
More of a relationship-based culture.
Yes.
I would say most of what's happened in the past have been renewal type movements.
Yes.
And this is not a renewal. The gospel is going places it's never been before.
Yeah.
So this is a whole different dimension of what God's doing. So I think that's really exciting to realize. One of the things we started this, there had been 100 movements identified, and about, I think they figured about 7 or 8 million people had come to Christ, mostly Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus. And today, as of this last year, there were 1,950 movements with around 100 million people have come to Christ in the last 30 years.
Where's that research from, Jim, just out of interest?
The statistics, it's called, let's see, Beyond is the name of the organization.
Okay.
And the fellow's name is, I've got a mind blank here.
It's okay.
Long is his last name. Anyway, he's the statistician. He goes around, tracks these things all over the world. But it's we're over 2,000 movements, I know, because it's been pretty much a year since they've updated. So you're talking 100 million people. That's, you know, one. That's getting a significant percentage of the population of the world. So that's amazing. Yeah.
And it is a movement then, isn't it? And in a new movement amongst new people.
Yeah.
And it must be God, because. We couldn't orchestrate this.
No, it's just beyond. When I first got started and looking at missions, so I had some friends that were doing mission work, and they're working in one of the Middle East countries, and they talked about how successful they were. They'd been for 5 years in the field, and they had three people who were open to hearing about the gospel, and they were the most productive people in their whole ministry. And, you know, and so I go back and I look at the whole 1040 window prayer movement. And he starts realizing that what we're experiencing here is the fruit of 40 years of prayer, and the difference between going out and doing something your own and then having that power of prayer. And so you see a lot of God's movement, God's hand, but it's really different than what the traditional missions approach to things used to be.
Yeah, in some ways, yes. Yes, you're right. Cindy, did you finish telling your story? I'm not sure if I interrupted you or...
No, I finished. Thank you.
Oh, well done.
I throw in mine. So Cindy's was Matthew 13:46. My story is Matthew 13:45, which was the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field.
Yeah.
That when a man found it, he hid it again in his excitement, went and sold everything he had and bought that field. So Cindy and I are in the same place. We came from a different direction. I just stumbled on it. I wasn't looking for it. She was looking for something. But you see the word of God very much fulfilled. And it's the same treasure. It's the same cost. And we're living that out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. That's great. And your story goes on, which is amazing.
Yes.
It's a continuing story. It doesn't matter how old you get, does it? There's more.
Yeah.
There's more in different stages. So in the next time we meet you, we're going to hear a lot more about disciple making. But just before we leave you now, is there any last advice you can give to people?
Yeah, the biggest thing that's happened to me is discovering what a disciple is,
okay,
and how do you become a disciple. And I was so excited. I couldn't even put it. when you have something that's lingering in your deep side, you know, what is a disciple? What does that mean? How do we live that out? And then it's opened up to you and you see it. I mean, that's what the excitement is about. So we need to know what a disciple is. We need to know who it is that disciples you. And that's been another big change for me is, as I understood discipleship, I would disciple somebody and they'd disciple somebody. And I saw the fruits of that. People were improved because they were challenged, but also saw the limitations. You reproduced your own faults in the other person you were discipling. And yep. Realizing that Jesus can disciple you, you know what? He doesn't have any faults. He has the potential to bring you into your full potential. And then how that's done. And so that's what we're all about is just, you know, how it's done. And so I would just say that you know, one of the things was for me was a book written by a guy named Ed Gross, Dr. Ed Gross, and he's become a friend of ours. But he had his first century discipleship was his focus for his PhD. And so he said there are five basic disciplines or characteristics of every disciple. Number one is obedience. So a disciple of, didn't make any difference who's your master, you're going to be obedient to, mm-hmm. to that. And the second one was being able to teach what your rabbi taught. That means you had to have it committed to memory. So you were expected to take all of his teachings and incorporate them in your life so you could teach other people. The third one was to have a knowledge of the Old Testament and then what your teacher taught about him. And as I've been looking at the Gospels again with new eyes, I realized that almost everything Jesus did was either a demonstration of a comment on the Old Testament, fulfillment of the Old Testament, or confrontation to the Pharisees or someone who were following the letter but missing something bigger. And then the fourth one was to do what your rabbi does. And that went to mission. What's the purpose that Jesus came to the earth for? And the fifth one was to make disciples. So that was characteristics of every disciple. And one of the big discoveries I have is that Jesus modeled all those. You can look at them and see that Jesus, every one of those five items, Jesus modeled. And he also expected of his disciples. And then he threw a ringer on the last one, extra one. He said in Luke 14:27, he said basically to a large group of followers, if you want to be my disciple, you basically have to put aside everything else you have, even your own life, and follow me. And he modeled that himself. So we see that Jesus modeled, if you want to know how to become a disciple, look exactly what Jesus did, do it, and become a disciple.
Mm. That's very good. Become a disciple. Disciple making is so huge now, isn't it? People talk about it all the time. And I think what you're saying is so correct that often we make it just so cognitive. When people talk about it, you need to know this stuff. When it's more of a life thing, I think is largely right. you're communicating. Yeah. It's not just knowing stuff.
Right. And I think, you know, one of the things is, as I've been approaching this, is realizing that as a Christian, you're taught certain things. And when you see certain things in the Bible, you read into it what you were taught. And when you start comparing apples and you find what you think is an apple is really in the Bible is an orange, you realize that your thinking is misaligned. And if your thinking's misaligned, the results of what you do are going to be misaligned.
Yeah.
And yeah. I have a new book I'm working on. It's called Kingdom Mind Shifts. And I'm still doing some editing on that. But basically, it just looks at, it starts off with two funnels, a regular funnel. And I'll get into that later. But
yeah, you will.
We'll just say but we have to reach, if we want to see the kingdom of God come, we have to get aligned up with what the scriptures say. And that often means putting aside so many of the things that we have added to the scriptures and our understanding.
Yep. Okay. Awesome. Well, we will next time. So thank you guys for sharing a little bit of your life. It's been lovely. And I look forward to next week. It'll be actually when we hear you talk more about more into discipleship, which is always challenging. Thank you. God bless, guys. We'll see you next
time.
Thank
you. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you for listening to the Reach podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. And this week, check out the show notes with links to the books by Jim and Cindy on discipleship. and we'll see you next week. God bless and goodbye.